Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, text number 51. Tretayam Vartamanayam Kalakrita Samo Bhavat Rame Ranjani Dharma Gyai Sarabhuta Sukhavahe Tretayam. In the Tretya Yuga Vartamanayam, although situated in that period, Kala, the period, Krita, with Sati Yuga, Sama, equal, Abhavat, it so became, Rame, because of Lord Ramachandra's being present, Rajani, as the ruling king, Dharmagye, because he was fully religious, Sarabhuta, of all living entities, Sukhavahe, giving full happiness. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Ramachandra became king during Treta Yuga, but because of his good government, the age was like Satya Yuga. Everyone was religious and completely happy. Purport. Among the four yugas, Satya, Treta, Dwarpa, and Kali, the Kali Yuga is the worst. But if the process of Varnashram Dharma is introduced, even in this age of Kali, the situation of Satyuga can be invoked. The Hare Krishna movement or Krishna consciousness movement is meant for this purpose. Kaler doshani de rajan nasti eko mahagunan kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangha param vrajat. My dear king, although Kali Yuga is full of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. Bhagavatam 12.3.51. People take to the Sankirtan movement of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. They will certainly be freed from the contamination of Kali Yuga, and the people of this age will be happy as people were in Satya Yuga, the golden age. However, anyone, anywhere, can easily take to this Krishna consciousness movement. One need only chant a Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, observe the rules and regulations, and stay free from the contamination of sinful life. Even if one is sinful and cannot give up sinful life immediately, if he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with devotion and faith, he will certainly be freed from all sinful activities, and his life will be successful. Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtan Nam. This is the blessing of Lord Ramachandra, who appeared in this age of Kali as Lord Gaurasundara. Text 51 again. Tretayam Vartamanayam Kala Krita Samobhavat Rame Ranjani Dharma Gye Sarabhuta Sukhavahe. Lord Ramachandra became king during Treta Yuga, but because of his good government, the age was like Satya Yuga. Everyone was religious and completely happy. So what does Srila Prabhupada say here is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement? It's meant for what purpose? What's that? That's right, exactly. Or as they say in Russian, Maladets. Alichna. Good. So that's the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement, is to establish Satya Yuga. And what happens in Satya Yuga? Krite Dhyayatom Vishnu. Just like now we're chanting Hare Krishna in Kali Yuga, but our aim is to chant Hare Krishna in Satya Yuga, as if we're in Satya Yuga. And what's the difference? In Satya Yuga, people are not in the illusory energy, at least those who are performing the activities of Satya Yuga, namely meditation upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such as Kardama Muni. Kardama Muni was meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore, although it took him around 10,000 years to become fully Krishna conscious, still, he remained youthful. Of course, he said to Yuga people live for 100,000 years, so he was only around, if you live after 10,000 years, in our age, you're only around 10 years old, so you're still pretty youthful. And what is the process? What is the problem, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita? Ichcha dvesha samutena dvanva mohena bharata sarvabhutani samoham sarge yanti parantapa. That all living entities are born in delusion, overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. So, the illusory energy is manifested in this world in terms of desire and hate. Anyone here ever feel any desire or any aversion towards anything? At least one. The rest of us are pure devotees. And what is the process? Yesham andagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvanva mohanirmuktva pajante mam dridavrataha. Those who have practiced the religious principles have acted piously, have given up, those who have practiced the yesham antakatham papam, those who are free from the previous reactions of their impious activities, have acted piously and free from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. So our aim is to engage ourselves in Krishna's service with determination, not to become either distracted by the results of our previous pious activities, or becoming disturbed by the reactions of our previous impious activities. In other words, probably compares it to a coconut. And there are many coconuts in India, especially in Bengal. And if you get an unripe coconut, you shake it, it makes no sound. But if you get a ripe coconut and you shake it, when the bottom falls, the inner part falls out, then you can shake it and you can hear the inner part. Similarly, whatever is going on in the material world is really a distraction for the soul. But if the soul is not distracted, engages itself in Krishna consciousness, then the result is that it's not disturbed under any circumstance, because it has a different experience. If we don't have Krishna conscious experience, all we have is material experience. And if we add Krishna conscious experience to it, then that experience, as Krishna says, upon gaining this, one thinks that there's no greater gain. And being situated in such a position, one is not disturbed in spite of the greatest difficulty. And the greatest difficulty, of course, is that even at the time of death, when the whole body becomes disturbed, Krishna, Pada Pankaja. What is that King Kulukshetra sings? Krishna Twadiya Pada Pankaja Panjarantam Twadyaiva Vishade. I forget. Anyhow, Krishna Twadiya Pada Pankaja Panjaranja. Let, now that I'm healthy, let the swan of my mind enter into the stem of your lotus feet. Because at the time of death, all the different areas of the body become disturbed, we experience great bewilderment and disturbance naturally at the time of death, and therefore I may not be able to chant your holy name at that time. So better that I'm healthy and in a good state of consciousness, let me leave my body right now so I can easily think of your lotus feet. Krishna Twidya Parapankaja Panjarantam Dvayaiva Vishame Manasa Rajahangsa. So how to come to that platform? Prabhupada said that there are classes of people who just don't want to come to that platform. And unfortunately, due to our association with them, we're somewhat affected by them also at times. For instance, there's a class of people that Krishna says are called diskritinas. And there are four classes: those who are sinful, those who are atheistic, those who are deceitful, and those who are foolish. So the foolish and the mudhas, and if they're, when the mudhas take to Krishna consciousness, they become eligible to become shudras. And then there is the Naradamas, which is so-called civilized persons, but they're utilizing their advanced intelligence simply to commit more sinful activities, open slaughterhouses, and all kinds of foolish entertainment and useless sports. So they have intelligence, but they're misusing it. Therefore, they're called Naradamas, the lowest among men. They're compared to the monkeys. Has anyone ever seen a monkey here, besides in a zoo, in India? Anyone been to India here? The monkeys, they're the worst. Prabhupada said there's four classes of people: lazy intelligent, active intelligent, foolish intelligent, and inactive intelligent. Active foolish and lazy foolish. So the Brahmins, they're the lazy intelligent. The Kshatriyas, they're the active intelligent. The Vaishyas, they're the active foolish. And the Shudras, they're the lazy foolish. And amongst the animal kingdom, that the monkeys are considered to be the active foolish. And because they're so foolish, whatever they do creates more and more problems for everyone. They create all the disturbance. If you go to Loy Bazaar in Vrindavan, anyone ever been to Loy Bazaar? If you ever go there, and if you wear glasses, then one of the monkeys, one of their favorite pastimes is to steal your glasses right off your face. And if you carry a bag, especially with fruit in it, they'll come up behind you and grab it out of your hands and run up a tree. And if they grab your glasses and you try to barter with them, you try to bribe them, after they chew on your glasses for a while, if you give them enough bananas, they might throw it back to you. So they're not very well appreciated in Vrindavan, the monkeys. And they're always creating mischief. Similarly, the Naradamas, they're actively foolish, and therefore they're creating many problems in the world nowadays. And then there's the active intelligent, the Kshatriyas, and then there's the inactive intelligent, the Brahmanas. In any case, in this age, well, those who are sinful, they're considered to be the active foolish, the Naradamas. And those who are deceitful are considered to be the Maya Pritijnanas, those who are seemingly learned, but they're actually word jugglers. They try and prove that everyone is God, that there is no God, whatever. Their knowledge has been stolen by illusion. And then we have the Brahmins. And there are the Maya Pritigyanis, the so-called Brahmins. They're not actually Brahmins, they're Maya Pritigyanis. I'm sorry. They're the Asuram Bhavam Ashrityas. They're the impersonalists, the Mayavadis. They're envious of God. They want to be God. They don't want to serve God. They want to be God. Therefore, those persons never become attracted. And the reason why we lack attraction is because of our past association with such personalities. We become affected with their mentality to some degree or another. Being sinful or being foolish or sinful, or our knowledge has been stolen by so much hearing of and chanting of the glories of the foolish so-called learned persons within the society, or just being atheistic, that there is no God or that everyone is God, etc. So what's the process? That one who has to act religiously. Religiously means those who have acted, follow the religious principles of cleanliness and mercy and truthfulness and austerity, they can get out, they can rise up to a higher platform of consciousness. Prabhupada said if you just take a shower, then you can actually become more intelligent. And the opposite of that, of course, is illicit sex, intoxication, eating, and gambling, which will degrade one into the lower species of life. They'll increase one's hankering and lamentation. It's like if you have a big feast, and you eat too much, before the feast you're hankering, I can't wait for the food, for the prasad. And if you eat too much, then at the end you think, oh, I ate too much. If only there wasn't a feast, I'd be all right now. Therefore, this hankering lamentation is all due to the cause that we want to lord it over the material nature and enjoy it in some way. Usually it starts with eating bulls and cows, killing the animals and eating them. Then one becomes lusty. Oh, then one takes intoxication in order to digest the meat. And then after taking intoxication, one's senses become agitated for sense gratification, and then one's mind becomes completely disturbed and everything becomes a speculation. She loves me, she loves me not. She loves me, she loves me not. She doesn't love me. She wants my money. Oh no. How horrible. Therefore one has to control the senses. As Tanahi Savani Samyamya Yukta Sita Mapra Vashehi Yasyandriya Nitasya Pragyapatishtita. One who restrains his senses and fixes his consciousness upon me is known as a man of steady intelligence. So the only practical way we can actually get free from these urges of the senses and our mind, desire and anger, is to try to fix our consciousness upon Krishna. For that reason, one of the reasons we chant Hare Krishna, one of the effects of chanting Hare Krishna, I should say, is that we can become aloof from the urges of the mind and senses. It's not that they're immediately going to cease, but at least we can become aloof from them, and therefore we won't strive to satisfy them. If we stop striving to satisfy them, then the reactions go away. If we don't create more reactions, then the previous reactions were sinful activities will gradually cease. It's just like if you have a fan going around and you pull the plug, then it's still going to go around, but eventually it'll stop, as long as you don't plug the fan back in. So as long as we're not trying to engage in sinful activities, and if we're fixing our mind upon Krishna, gradually our reactions or our sinful activities will stop, and therefore we can very peacefully and happily think about Krishna without any disturbance, without any distraction from the illusory energy. So when that takes place, then we can act piously. Of course, the most pious activity is to chant Hare Krishna, but also to live in harmony with material nature. Protect the cow, protect the bull, which will automatically help us protect the water, the air, our relationships. If we stop killing animals, then we'll stop killing ourselves too. Or if we stop killing ourselves and stop killing animals, then we'll become attracted to Krishna consciousness. Then one can conquer sinful reactions. Or one acts, gives up sinful activities, acts piously, then one can conquer sinful reactions. One will not be disturbed by them. One can tolerate them. Kama krodha vimuktaistu. Kama krodha vimuktanam yatinam yatichetasam abhito brahmanirvanam vartate viditatmanam. Those who are free from desire, kama krodha vimuktas, to one who is free from desire and anger, kama krodha vimuktanam yatinam yatichetasam, who is able to control his mind and senses, kama krodha muktanam yatinam yatichet abhito brahmanirvanam, he's obtained Brahman. Abhito brahmanirvanam vartate viditatmanam, and he'll quickly attain Krishna consciousness. So conquering sinful reactions, this is our opportunity. The more we deeply chant Hare Krishna, the more attentively we chant Hare Krishna, the more Krishna gives us his mercy, then the more we can become aloof from our material desires and anger. Then the result is that one can actually accept real devotional service. That I'm doing this just to please Krishna. I'm not doing it in order to gain something in the material world, in order to get security or comfort in the material world. Then one can rise up to the pure knowledge of the personality of Godhead, which means when our senses become purified, we can actually experience Krishna as he is. When we chant Hare Krishna, we'll be merged in an ocean of transcendental happiness. With our transcendental senses, we'll be able to experience that the pleasure of Krishna, of being in association with Krishna and his internal energy, Srimati Radharani and their associates. Then one will meditate in trance upon the personality of Godhead. One becomes so addicted to Krishna and everything and everyone in relationship to Krishna that one cannot possibly give up Krishna even for a moment, just like a fish cannot give up water. So that's the process of Krishna consciousness taught by the great souls who actually have experienced Krishna consciousness. And therefore they can tell us the path by which we can also purify our consciousness and come to our original state of Krishna consciousness. So in this age, in Satyayuga, people were not so covered. A little practice, like the Brahmin in the nectar devotion, they could sit down and eventually they can meditate in trance upon Krishna. And when people became a little greedy, when they went to a feast, because even in Satyayuga there were Sunday love feasts sometimes. And when they went to a feast and they saw an extra, at the end of Satyayuga, they saw some extra gulab-jamun or samosa, and they said, oh, why not? And they took it, and they became implicated in atyahara, eating too much. And then everything started to change, their consciousness started to change, and Treta Yuga started. And then Treta Yagya came, incarnation of Krishna, and told people that if you want to get back to the consciousness of Satyayuga, then we have to perform sacrifice. We have to throw those extra samosas into the fire. And indeed, Jagya performed the sacrifice, threw the extra grains or the samosas or gulab jamuns into the fire, and people became peaceful again. They only started to eat what they needed. And therefore their senses became controlled, their minds became controlled, and they were able to meditate and trance upon Krishna. But then at the end of Treta Yuga, people became too lazy, getting all these ingredients for sacrifice, and all these rules and regulations were too much for them. And therefore, they started to eat too much again. They wouldn't offer the gulab jamun into the sacrifice, they ate it. And therefore, Dwarpa Yuga started, because they wouldn't do sacrifice anymore. The same way it was done in Treta Yuga. And in Dwarpa Yuga, there was temple worship, so people would go and perform the temple worship, offer the gulab jamuns and the samosas to Krishna before they ate them, prepare them for the deity. And when they did that, they got some happiness from serving the deity, and they wanted to perform sacrifice for the deity. And therefore, they were able to meditate upon trance upon the deity, Krishna. And therefore, the atmosphere of Satya Yuga was there again, even in Dwarpa Yuga, for those who perform temple worship and became serious and performed sacrifice for Krishna, were able to meditate. So in this age, it's the same thing. We have the same objective. It's the same process. It's just that we're approaching it in a different way. That's all. Then in this age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come and given the holy name and the feelings of separation. Therefore, if we engage ourselves in the Sankirtan movement, in which deity worship is introduced also, but it's actually the Sankirtan movement, it's the chanting of Hare Krishna, and especially congregationally together, that actually gives us the opportunity to perform deity worship in the proper consciousness. And then by the deity worship and by the chanting, then we'll become interested in performing the Sankirtan Yajna in this age more and more, and spreading the Krishna consciousness movement as the sacrifice. And through that sacrifice, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will become pleased and will be able to meditate and trance like he does upon Krishna and feelings of separation. And therefore the age of Satya Yuga will manifest itself. The same atmosphere. That's how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread the Sankirtan movement, because wherever he went, he brought Vrindavan with him and feelings of an ecstatic atmosphere wherever he went, with the sweetness of the love exchanges between Radha and Krishna was present wherever he was, and people's consciousness changed. It's so sweet and so enjoyable that they were able to give up anything practically. Some people, practically instantaneously, they gave up their material desires and took part in the Sankirtan movement. So we too, if we have some faith in the Sankirtan movement, then we can expect, and we should see whether or not I'm getting some attraction for the deity worship, at least, or the worship of Harinam, because that's also, we're bringing the deity out to the public when we're doing Harinam Sankirtan. And therefore I'm actually becoming more and more interested in utilizing my life as a sacrifice for the Sankirtan movement, so that I can please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and develop the same feelings of separation from Krishna and Vrindavan that he has, that he's distributing freely. So we become a sincere servant to the Sankirtan movement. We can get all the benefits of all the other yugas and go back to the spiritual world. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Thanks, Maharaj. You mentioned about overeating. Is there a reference in scripture that says that that can be very detrimental to the practice?
Atyahara prasascha prajalpa nimagraha jana sangastralo yamcha shadvira bhakti vinashati. Next instruction. That's one of them. There's so many instances. There's yuktahara viharasya yuktachesa karmasu yuktaswapni bodasya yoga bhavati dukaha. A yogi doesn't eat too much or eat too little, sleep too much or sleep too little. One who's temperate in his habits of eating, sleeping, work, and recreation can mitigate all the material pains by practice of the yoga system. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabravad Grayam Indriyai Seva Mukhehi Jiva Ado Swayam Eva Spratida. No one can realize Krishna with his contaminated senses. But when the senses become purified by using the tongue properly in Krishna's service, then everything is revealed to himself. So atyahara, eating too much or collecting too much, leads to prayasas, over-endeavoring for material things, which leads to prajalpa, which leads to idle talk, talk about where is money, which leads to niyamagraha, not time to read the books or to understand what we're doing, or not doing it, not performing sadhana bhakti at all, and therefore becoming greedy, more and more greedy for mundane achievements, and therefore association with materialistic people. So one thing leads to the next. And therefore that destroys the desire for devotional service.
Thank you.
Anything else? Yes. Did you have a question, Nishinga? I was just stretching. Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you. And Prabhupada has mentioned that but if the process of Varnashram is introduced, even in this age of Kali, the situation of Satyuga can be invoked. So, the Satyuga is, establishing Satyuga is a conditioned, I mean, there is a requirement that Varnashram is introduced?
No, that's not what Prabhupada is saying here. We have to read it carefully.
Because in the Satyuga there is no Varnashram, right?
No.
Only one Varnashram.
No, there's more than one ashram. King Pratibharichi, there's kings in Satyuga also. But the predominant atmosphere is... There's more Brahmins in Satyuga. That's all. But we can find out in the stories that, for instance, Dhruva Maharaj was in Satyuga. Similarly, Aranyakashipu was also in Satyuga, along with Prahlad. But there were certainly sufficient demons. But the primary personalities, Brahminical culture was much more predominant. But here it says, if we read this carefully, that among the four yugas, Satya, Treta, Dwarpa, and Yukali, the Kali Yuga is the worst. But if the process of Anashram is introduced, even in the age of Kali, the situation of Satya Yuga can be invoked. So that's why Anashram is recommended, to help invoke the situation of Satya Yuga. The Hare Krishna movement or Krishna consciousness movement is meant for this purpose. That is to invoke Satyuga. And therefore Prabhupada points out the next thing, he quotes, Kalair Doshe Nide Rajan, that the only way of doing it is by chanting Hare Krishna. Varnashram is simply, it's the natural culture that will be awakened when people become purified. It is reality, it's the same culture. Even our purpose-driven yatra, it's more or less just a manifestation of the Varnashram. You always have a class of people who don't know what they're doing, and they find out something, and then they start practicing, and then they become interested in organizing, helping other people organizing, and then they become the experts in it. So Varnashram is an eternal manifestation of different levels of consciousness and the work ascribed to those different levels of consciousness, namely sacrifice for Vishnu in spiritual consciousness. Yes. Or or as it says in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Gop Kumar is in Vaikuntha, there are also, Uddhava is there as a Kshatriya, and Narada Muni is there as a Brahmin. So, Narada Muni tells Uddhava that even in Vaikuntha you can't give up your role as a Kshatriya. So, Uddhava says, but even here, we're in Dwarka, it was actually Dwarka. He said, but even here our Lord acts as a Kshatriya. Transcendental Kshatriya. So even in Vaikuntha, Krishna, even in Dwarka, in the spiritual world, Krishna is a Kshatriya. Uddhava is also a Kshatriya. And Narada Muni, when he's there, he's a Brahmin. So it's eternal. Yes. It's not working?
My question is, because I didn't really understand Srila Prabhupada. I mean, I did understand something, but I didn't really see the answer to this question. Why Kagala Muni developed this desire to have a life even after seeing vision and asking vision? I mean, I know Srila Prabhupada says that even such a desire for those things appears, the process was okay to approach the vision, but he doesn't really go into explanation why
Well, that was Krishna's, obviously it was Krishna's arrangement, because Krishna wanted to appear as Kapila Muni to teach us Sankhya Yoga. So that's how Krishna utilized Karna Dharma Muni.
But I'm sorry, Maharaj, but
he wasn't interested in enjoying.
Yes.
He wasn't interested in material enjoyment. He was inspired by Krishna for that type of service.
But in Bhagavatam is another part in fifth canto, I think, where King Nabi wants Vishnu, Krishna as a son, and there is clearly explained that that's because his father, Agnidra Prabhu, was contaminated by passionate desire to serve Krishna with a wife. So
these are subtle things. I mean, we come up to that platform, I think we'd be doing quite well. As far as, you know, Karma Muni, he had realized Paramatma within his heart. And therefore Paramatma directed him to get married. But he was also practicing until he came to the perfectional platform of Krishna consciousness, even as a householder. So just realizing Paramatma in your heart may not be the ultimate end. As far as these other things, I mean, these are things, it's like there may be the shadow of contamination at the stage of bhava or something like that, but for us, I think we'd be quite doing well if we come up to that stage. You know, and Krishna is manifesting his pastimes through these devotees also. Not ordinary people get to make it into the Bhagavatam because they had a little bit of material desire from some previous ancestor. I think we probably have a lot more problems than that. Anything else? Kuala, Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.